Okay, so I don't know where to start. When Craig asked me to speak on one of the Bible characters in the Old Testament, and I asked him, who do we have left? And he said, Isaac. And I thought, oh, Isaac, I really like that character. He is my kind of man. Press escape. Thank you. So he was my kind of man because we both had arranged marriages. In fact, we had our 43rd wedding anniversary on October 11th, by the grace of God. And here's the family tree of Abraham and Sarah, starting from Terah, closest all right, I hope you heard me without the mic. Here's the family tree of Abraham and Sarah, starting from Terah, a descendant of Shem, one of Noah's sons. Today, we are going to look at Isaac in our study of the Bible characters in Genesis. We cannot talk about Isaac without talking about Ishmael. Isaac and Ishmael became fathers of different nations. The conflict in Abraham's family started with the conception of Ishmael. And God spoke to Abraham in a vision in Genesis 15 and reveals his plan for him and his descendants up to the fourth generation. God reassured Abraham that he was with him and his shield of protection and reward for his obedience. Abraham then makes a sacrifice to God in obedience to his command and watches over it, chasing any animals or birds away from the sacrificed animals. So God appears to Abram in Genesis 15. Genesis 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Abram then questioned God. Genesis 15, 2, but Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing that I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars of you, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return there, for the inquiry, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. And those were the animals that that Abraham sacrificed as God commanded him to. And Abraham was obedient in this, that he brought these animals and made a sacrifice. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces of animals. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Cadmonites, and all kinds of ites. They were there. Now the angel of the Lord, I think my slides are not in order. Now, soon after Abraham had this grand vision, Sarai had a plan to make things happen. I'm not sure if we can blame her. She waited almost 12 years after God's promise of a child. And it was the custom of that culture then to use a surrogate mother if a woman is barren. The culture looked down upon a woman who was not being able to bear a child. Sarai took matters into her own hands. And what happened is, Sarai came up with this plan of her own, that she would use Hagar, her Egyptian maid, to have a child by Abraham. And Hagar conceives a child. And we find that as soon as she was pregnant with a child, she was feeling some kind of superiority over Sarai, and that she was not considering Sarai as her master. And Sarai did not like this, and And Sarai complains to Abram that Hagar was not treating her right. And she was putting the blame on Abram now, although she came up with the plan to have a child through her maid. And Abram responded by saying that Hagar is your maid and she is in your hands, and you can do as you wish with her. And then Sarai sends her out of the house, treats her with very harshly, and she leaves the house, and she was wandering in the wilderness. And in Genesis 16:7, now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man, his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Then she called the name of the Lord, who spoke to her, you are the God who sees. For she said, have I also here seen him who sees me? Now, God is just and merciful. It was not Hagar's fault that she conceived Abram's child, nor the fault of the child to be born, but it was Hagar's fault that they were in this predicament. The God who sees all could not abandon Ishmael and Hagar. And Hagar obeyed God, and she went back to Sarai and submitted to her. It certainly was not God's plan. He did not plan this. This was Sarai's plan, and Abram readily agreed to it. In Genesis 17, we see that Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So God makes this everlasting covenant with Abraham regarding himself, his descendants, and all males in his household. The practice of circumcision was instituted for the descendants of Abraham. And then in Genesis 17, verse 9, and God said to Abram, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And then God made this accelerating revelation to Abraham. In chapter 17, verse 15, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 99 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at the set time next year. And in Genesis 18, three angels visit Abraham in the form of strangers, and Abraham showed hospitality to them. The angels reconfirmed that Sarah would have a child by that time next year. But Abraham and Sarah laughed at it, displaying their lack of trust in God based on human perception. Miraculous conception and birth of Isaac is mentioned in Genesis 21. Isaac means laughter. Abraham and Sarah laughed in distrust when the promise was given, and they laughed with joy when the promise was fulfilled as Isaac was born. Egypt represents the world, and Hagar and Ishmael showed their worldly nature. Ishmael was about 14 years old when Isaac was born, and Sarai found that Ishmael, who was about 14 years old at that time, scoffing at little Isaac, and this really upset Sarah, and she complains again to Abram, and she wanted Hagar and Ishmael to be thrown out of the house. And in Genesis 21, we see that God again appears to Abraham regarding this. Now, Abraham was hesitant to listen to Sarah to do what she said, because last time he did what she wanted, caused them to be in this predicament. But he checked with God this time, and he confirmed him to do what Sarah told him to do. And Hagar and Ishmael were sent out of the house with some bread and water. They wandered in the wilderness, and God appeared to them in the wilderness. Sure, Abraham struggled with it all day and night. But in the morning, he sent them out with bread and water. And in Genesis 21, we read that therefore, But God appeared to Hagar and Ishmael in the wilderness and assures them that he would bless Ishmael and that he would become a father of great nations, and that God shall bless him because God is a just and merciful God. Now, in Genesis 22, God is testing Abraham. He is testing his faith. Genesis 22, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And sure, Abraham struggled with it. It did not make any sense. There is no indication that he ever discussed this with Sarah. Abraham must have come to the conclusion, this is the God who created and gave life to Isaac. And he must have thought, if I took his life and offered him as a sacrifice, God is able to bring him back to life. Words of the angel prior to the So Abraham rose in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. So Abraham here passed the test of faith, and God renewed his covenant with Abraham after this incident. And we read about this in Hebrews 11, 17 and 18. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your descendants be named. Abraham had tremendous faith in his God. He who led him and guided him all through these years. And as he was childless, not a child of that God promised, but to Abraham and Sarah. And then he was given the gift of the child, the promised son. He displayed his tremendous faith in God. And it is really a picture of God sacrificing his own son for us. And Mount Moriah is believed to be the location of Mount Calvary, where the Son of God was sacrificed for our sins. And there was no substitute for him. And he had to be sacrificed as the lamb. And there was no other lamb to take it, his place. And it's a picture of God's love for us and God's love for his son, as we read in the John's Gospel this morning. And in Genesis, after Sarah passed away, at the age of 127, Abraham was getting very old in age. Now, her death certainly created a vacuum in the family. Isaac was about 40 years old and was single, feeling very lonely after Sarah's death. There is every indication that it was a close family unit. They loved each other dearly. And Isaac, mourning for his mother for 3 full years, is a testament to it. And in Genesis chapter 22, then the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, that Robert talked about this morning, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And Abraham now called his chief of the servants and charged him with finding a wife for Isaac. He made him take an oath that he will not find a Canaanite woman for his son, but go to the place of Abraham's origin, to his family, and to find an appropriate match for Isaac. He also was not allowed to take Isaac with him. And Abraham blessed them in the name of God to be successful in this mission. So in Genesis 24, we read that the chief servant took 10 of the 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor, and he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, O Lord God, my master Abraham, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water. The daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. And let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Where did this servant learn how to pray? And it is remarkable that this servant also learned to pray, and that he set out on this mission. And as he reached the city of Nahor and resting by the well, he prayed for the success of his mission. And Abraham Abraham had sent him to his family, his folks, to find a suitable match, and that he would not be picking anyone from the land of Canaan where they lived. Now let it be that young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. Genesis 24, verse 15. And it happened before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her, and she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. And then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was when the camels had finished drinking, and the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel, and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? So she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. Then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And here we see again the servant bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Now Laban, so the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, "Thus the man spoke to me," that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. And now Laban invited them to lodge with them and entertain them. Now the servant then introduced himself as the servant of Abraham. He told them all about the story of Abraham, Sarah, and their only son Isaac, who is the only heir of all the wealth of Abraham. He then explained his mission and expressed his suggestion that Rebekah would be the most suitable match for Isaac. And in Genesis 24, verse 49, we read, "Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right or to the left." Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken." And it came to pass, when Abram's servant heard their words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant bought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. Now, Isaac was a man of prayer, and he was God-fearing as well. And I'm sure he has been praying about this. And in Genesis 24, verse 56, in the morning, the servant and those who were with him were ready to leave, and they were ready to take Rebekah with them. But there was a family meeting, and Bethuel and Laban readily agreed to send Rebekah with the servant and the men. But Rebekah's mother was not that naive, and she thought about this and told them, "Let her stay for another 10 days, and we shall then send her." But the servant then said to them, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master." So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So they went away, Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gate gates of those who hate them. Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac went to the field to meditate in the evening at a place called Beer Lahai Roy, and he saw the caravan of the camels coming from a distance. And Rebekah inquired of the servant who that man was, and the servant told her and warned her that he was the man she was going to marry. When they came closer, Rebekah dismounted from the camel and covered herself with a veil on her face and showed her respect to Isaac. And Isaac then received her and took her to Sarah's tent, and she became his wife. And now Isaac is a married man, and he was missing his mother, but God provided him with a wonderful wife, and it was God's provision, and it was God's plan. And it was God's plan that his descendants would come from Isaac and Rebekah, Abraham's descendants. Now, Rebekah was barren almost 20 years. Isaac and Rebekah did not have any children for almost 20 years. And we see Isaac took it to the Lord in prayer, and Isaac was again praying for his wife that they would that she would conceive and they would have a child. And it turned out that Rebekah had twins, but the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If all is well, why am I like this?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." Now, Esau came out first, as we know, and then Jacob, holding the heel of Esau. Esau grew up to be a hunter, an outdoorsman, and Jacob was a mild man who lived in the tent. Isaac loved Esau because of the meat he brings home as a hunter. And Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob one day made a red stew, and Esau wanted some as he was starving to the point of death. And Jacob, as a wheeler and dealer, buys his birthright with the red stew that he made. And as they grew up, they became young men, and Isaac was getting old. And in Genesis 27, we read that Isaac was about to die. Now it came to pass, when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered him, "Here I am." Then he said, "Behold, now I'm old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons and your quiver and your bow and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." And Rebekah heard this, but Rebekah favored Jacob to get Isaac's blessing. She plotted with Jacob, and he disguised as Esau, and brought the savory food Rebekah made for Jacob to take to Isaac. And through Isaac, Though Isaac lost his eyesight, he recognized Jacob's voice. And Isaac then did the field test and the smell test. And Rebecca had dressed him up in Esau's garments and covered his hands with animal skin so that it would feel like Esau's hands. And Jacob deceived both Isaac and Esau and took the blessing from Isaac. And what kind of a man was Isaac? What can we learn from him and his strengths? He was an obedient child to his parents and very respectful of them. And he was a God-fearing man, fully trusted in God, and a praying man. He was a man of integrity, honest and faithful. He loved his family and cared for them. He was a peaceful man and made compromises to keep the peace, especially in his dealings with the people living around him. And with Abimelech, we know that he made peace with them, and he was a peaceful man. And his weaknesses, as we can see, he was not very confrontational when he needed to. And secondly, he showed favoritism with his two boys, and he failed to protect his wife in a foreign land in order to save his own life. Isaac was not a real man of action, and but he preserved his wealth that he inherited from Abraham, and he was very faithful in maintaining his wealth, and he himself created more wealth, and he was a wealthy man, and he was a God-fearing man, and he trusted in God. And these are the strengths that we can see in Isaac and that we can follow Isaac's life, and we can see his weaknesses. And if we are weak in these areas, we can look to the Lord in prayer and ask for his grace to improve ourselves and become useful to God. And Isaac, through him, God fulfilled his purposes, and the two nations that came out of Ishmael and Isaac, we can still see the Arab-Israeli conflict, and we can see the violence as the descendants of Ishmael brought into this world and is still going on. And Ishmael was born after the will of man, after the flesh, and whereas Isaac was born after the will of God, and he fulfilled the purposes of God. Let's close in prayer. I apologize for going over. I hope you will forgive me for starting late. Let's pray. God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this your word, and we thank you for the examples of these characters in the Bible that we can read and learn and apply in our own lives, that we could be trustworthy men of God and women of God. We pray that you would help us with your Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us in our journey, in this wilderness journey. But you are the one who provides for us. You are the one who blesses us. And we know that you are the one who provides us the joy for the journey. And we thank you for all your goodness and your mercies upon each one of us. We pray that you would send us with your blessing. In Jesus' precious name, we ask. Amen.